Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the fifth chapter of Matthew. I began this reading 2 weeks ago in what is known as the Beatitudes, and these passages today immediately follow those. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. There's an old saying that was especially popular back in my parents' day and before that folks would use in reference to persons of good, solid character. It was a great compliment to say about another, "That person is the salt of the earth." It's an interesting saying that can be traced back to biblical days. And Jesus used it when talking about faithful discipleship. He declared to a large following of disciples as part of Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, "You are the salt of the earth." But what do you suppose he meant when he used this metaphor? Well, let's take an important look first at each word in this metaphor. First of all, the word "you," as in "you are the salt of the earth," is plural in the Greek, not singular. We learn that the life of discipleship, the way of Christianity, is conceived as life within a community of faith, rather than simply an individualistic, isolated life or spirituality. Life in biblical times was highly communal, quite a contrast from the go-it-alone individualism of our modern culture. By its very nature, Christianity is about authentic relationships in community. Scriptures warn constantly against the temptation of a privatized religion. But since you're here at church this morning, I guess you don't need to be reminded of that. And the second word in Jesus' metaphor of "you are the salt of the earth" is also extremely important. Jesus does not say that as disciples you are to become salt of the earth, as in something we have to work in order to achieve. Instead, Jesus emphatically declares you are the salt of the earth. Jesus did not challenge them nor us to try harder to be like salt. He tells his followers that they already are the salt of the earth. We as Christians then are not told to become salty. Rather, we are challenged to stay salty. That is, to be devoted followers of Jesus in the fullness of what that means. What then is the meaning behind this metaphor and imagery of being like salt? Well, what's the function of salt? Even more so than today, salt had many different connotations in both ancient Judaism and in Matthew's tradition and context, including sacrifice, loyalty, purity, and covenant relationship. And in addition to functioning as a preservative, its most obvious quality is as a seasoning to enhance and add flavor to food. Same as today. And on this last point, biblical commentator William Barclay writes, "Christianity is to life what salt is to food. Christianity lends flavor to life." He goes on to add, however, "The tragedy is so often people have connected Christianity with precisely the opposite. They have connected Christianity with that which takes flavor out of life." That, in my opinion, is still reflected in the form of Christianity that is dominated by the imperative, don't do this and don't do that. Heaven forbid you should have any fun. The earliest 20th century Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. once even said, "I might have entered the ministry if certain clergymen I knew had not looked and acted so much like undertakers." Well, that's a good lead into what Jesus stated in his follow-up phrase. If salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. In other words, salt serves a purpose. It has a function. When it no longer functions or serves that purpose, it becomes useless. What Jesus is saying about faithful discipleship is then that we as a community of faith are charged with a purpose and a mission to the world. Therefore, he offers a warning that if we as disciples deny or fail to engage in our mission as modeled by Jesus, then we too are in a way useless. So the message to you and me as disciples then is simple. Stay salty, my friends. We must continue to strive by God's grace to fulfill our mission as a community of faith. And you know, I'm very proud of this congregation. For by our witness over many, many decades, College Hill is known throughout Eastern Oklahoma Presbytery and in many parts of Tulsa as a salty church, so to speak. And that's a good thing. We exist in order to build community and engage in mission. And this is not to say that there isn't an inward and internal personal dimension to discipleship, because there is. But rather, it's a way to emphasize and highlight the importance of our discipleship through its outward and external dimensions. And in today's gospel lesson, Jesus continues with another metaphor that I specifically emphasized with the time with the children, saying that we are the light of the world. The image of light is a primary image during this season of Epiphany. And as bearers of light, Jesus declares that we are like a city built on a hill that cannot be hid, and like a lamp that is used to light a home. In what seems obvious, though, Jesus reminds us that the purpose of a lamp is to provide light in dark places, not to be hid under a bushel basket where it does no good. And in an email sent out from the National Office of More Light Presbyterians earlier this very week, their new executive director, Alex Patchen McNeil, who is following in the sizable footsteps of the former executive director and friend of College Hill, Michael Ady, reflected on this particular scripture passage from Matthew 5. Alex, who you may be interested to know is a female-to-male transgender person, offers the following challenge in connection with the times when we hide our light under a bushel basket. He writes, "In this text, Jesus is coming to us to ask, how might we be the ones holding on tightly to the bushel basket over our heads? Where are the places where we've allowed our lights to be dimmed? The problem with clinging so tightly to our own bushel basket is that it means we cannot see the light of others, nor can we be a point of light for someone who is sitting in darkness. Without light, how can darkness know that it can be illuminated?" And Alex goes on to challenge those of us who are part of the More Light Presbyterian movement to help hoist the bushel basket off of our own congregations and our denomination. I think that's a nice way to summarize my own personal motivation to join with 26 other religious leaders throughout the Tulsa area last Wednesday evening at All Souls Presbyterian, All Souls Unitarian Church. College Hill Unitarian Church. No, wait a minute. We gathered in support of lending our religious voice to support the efforts of marriage equality in Oklahoma. And I kind of thought about it in reflection of this scripture passage as my way of being a bit salty, which, now that I think of it, can also add quite a bit of discomfort to an open wound, which this topic is. It was my way to shed a bit more light on what I consider to be the darkness that surrounds this issue. And it also reminded me that we do not have to be salt and light alone, but should take advantage of those opportunities when we can join with others who are doing the same. We are called to be like a city on a hill whose authentic life and relationships cannot be concealed. For when we are fulfilling our mission in this community and beyond, there is nothing that can hide us. We are indeed acting as a lighthouse. Every time we allow God's light of peace, justice, and love to shine through us and to be reflected off of us. And we share that light with the hurting world, Jesus says, through our good works. And we do that not out of sense of self-serving pride to boost our own status in the community, but as a way, the scripture tells us, to glorify God, simply by doing what we are created to do. Therefore, may we here at College Hill concentrate this year not in seeking the status quo, but in reinserting our presence, our very selves, into this community and beyond. And let us remember that in order for our light to be seen and have any effect, we must be willing to go where darkness exists, to engage and walk through it so that in time the light may overcome it. Well, in doing so, let us claim our identity and mission by being and doing what we already are. We are salt, enhancing, spicing up, and adding flavor to life. And we are light, illuminating the darkness in and through our good works. And may the glory be to God. Amen.